Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for the Bears Podcast, the first place Bears, with actor, comedian Mike Pusateri. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Andy, how are you?
Well, they're in first place.
First place Bears.
Never been better.
Super Bears, Super Bowl.
They've taken the North and they're never giving it back.
They are absolutely, they are unstoppable.
You can subscribe to the podcast and the newsletter at pointlessexercise.com. You can go to pointlessexercise.com, look in the lower right-hand corner, click on the Discipio shop. You can go buy yourself the Bears Don't Suck, You Do t-shirt. Better hurry up before while it's still true. I mean, the you sucking part might not change, but the Bears not sucking might.
That's a distinct possibility of changing.
Yes. So, Mike, how can our podcast listeners find out what you're up to out there on the left coast?
out here in sunny Los Angeles. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike Pusateri, and on Instagram at I am Mike Pusateri.
So the Bears managed to beat the mighty Houston Texans over the weekend.
An inspiring victory.
And they ran for 281 yards, the most they had run for since a loss to the Cowboys in 1984. And all anybody wants to talk about is why Justin Fields can't pass.
That's pretty much dominating the conversation. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it does say something that obviously it became quite apparent early on that the Bears did not trust Fields to throw the ball. And Lovie certainly was aware of that, so he knew the Bears were going to run, and he still couldn't stop them.
No, it didn't matter. The Bears have run for 200 yards in back-to-back, in back-to-back weeks. That's twice more than they ever did it under Matt Nagy. Big shock.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an optimist, what you say is the NFL has become such a passing league that defenses have gotten smaller in response to trying to rush the quarterback and cover all these little wide receivers all over the field. Mm-hmm. And some teams, like the Bears, have an advantage in trying to run the ball.
Yeah.
I think there's some truth to that. I also think there's truth to the fact that they know can pass.
There's also truth to the fact that, you know, Montgomery is a good player, but it seems pretty evident that Khalil Herbert is the better back.
Yeah.
And due to an injury, getting to play early and often certainly did not hurt their run game either.
No. No, and you almost wonder if it's a styles thing, because Herbert had such a good game against the Niners. Montgomery, a bigger, more physical, slower back, had a really good game against the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've thought since last year that Khalil's probably their best running back. And yeah. It looks like he's going to get at least several weeks to prove that. Although the Fluce was a little evasive in the postgame about the extent of Dave Montgomery's injury, as every football coach apparently is sworn to do. He's day-to-day.
Right. Day-to-day.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Well, and it underscores the point that you've made repeatedly about, you know, if Montgomery's a good, solid back, do you want to sign him to a big contract? Probably not the best use of resources. No. So it'll be interesting because, you know, Herbert is certainly a much more dynamic back, much faster. We'll see. I kind of feel like we're still, it's been three games and I still don't have a whole lot to take away from this team because the first game was in a monsoon. Second game was against the Packers. You know they're going to lose that. They did badly. This game, you know, was against the Texans, who if you're looking at the schedule before the season starts, you're thinking, okay, if there is a for sure winnable game this season, it's week three Texans at home. Nothing is for sure with this Bears team, but you're kind of looking at it going, we got to feel pretty good about that one. And they do barely pull it out thanks to some good defense by Roquan and some mistakes by whatever their quarterback's name is. But Fields obviously had a, as he called it, a trash day.
Yeah, you wanted to say the A word.
The A word was not horrible.
Was not awesome.
I don't think it was awesome.
Not acceptable.
Yeah.
So
what do we take? I don't know.
Well, it's a bad sign when your offensive coordinator schemes two really easy throws for you on the first two possessions, and you miss both of them behind the line of scrimmage rather badly.
That is a bad sign.
It's basically like, all right, Justin, here's a guaranteed completion. We're going to get you. Oops. Okay. Here's another one. Whoops.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Yeah.
And there were, I believe it was a great JT O'Sullivan. And if you're ever JT O'Sullivan's, of course, you know, try the nachos. he was breaking down some of the plays, and the most frustrating thing about it was there were times Justin just wouldn't throw. Almost like mm-hmm. he just doesn't trust what he sees. Like, oh my God, they're open. Well, that never happens. I better wait. I think I'm going to have a very uninspiring take on this, which is we don't know he's good. We don't know he's bad. We don't know. Last year, and we talked about it, they wasted an entire year with him last year.
Yeah.
They let Matt Nagy we do weird Matt Nagy things with him. And so now what should be, I mean, it's his 15th NFL game, but it really still feels like it's more like his third. Like, yeah, well, he's almost like they have to unlearn. It's not just that they have to teach him stuff that he didn't learn last year. They have to unteach him stuff that he did learn.
Absolutely.
Now, the thing that makes you a little more pessimistic, though, is the issue of hanging onto the ball and not throwing it right away is the number one reason why he was still there for the Bears to pick at 10. The teams that passed on him were like, he's super athletic, he can really throw, but we've got lots of film of him passing up open receivers, waiting for more open receivers to come. And it was easy to hand wave that away because in the Ohio State offense, the more open receivers showed up.
Yeah, right.
I can't work up any worry about this yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. Me neither. Not at all. I still have plenty of high hopes for Justin. I still think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, it's interesting. So he had that great play on the first possession where he dropped back. He didn't find anything. And then he took off like a jet. Amazing how fast he got. And he gained 29 yards. That's one that one of the guys broke down. Everybody was open. Everybody. He had four guys in the route. He could have thrown to any one of them. He didn't throw to any of them. Held onto it. The pocket broke down. He took off. It's like, well, that's not great. But then later in the game, he had a pass to Mooney where the only way you could complete that pass is you have to somehow get it over the linebackers and drop it to your smallest guy on the field. And it was a perfect pass.
It's a really hard pass to execute.
So I guess the reason I'm not concerned yet is the talent is undeniable.
No question about it.
And I almost wonder now, I watched a terrible movie over the weekend, a terrible football movie, called American Underdog. Did you ever watch the Kurt Warner movie?
I've not seen
it. It was on Hulu, and I went, oh, I'll bet this is terrible. And it was pretty terrible. The worst part of it was the wigs they put. what's her name? She was on, I can't think of her name. Is it Anna Paquin? Is that True Blood?
That she's True Blood,
yeah. Yeah, okay, it's Anna Paquin. She did wear, she covered the big gap between her teeth because Brenda Warner didn't have that. So okay. No big gap, but the wigs were so bad.
Now, when you're talking about wigs, you mean hair, right? You don't mean the 1850s political party.
No H in wigs. W-I-G-S.
You don't mean those.
But honestly, it looked like a wig you would have worn to a wig convention. You know, Brenda famously with the short hair, the super short hair. Apparently, Anna's like, you are not shaving my hair down to that. Give me a wig. Well, basically, Brenda had like buzzed on the sides there for a while. Yeah. You can't make a wig that does that. So he just had this weird. It looked like, you know, sometimes you get those like throw pillows where they like, it's almost like a thing that like poof up just little parts of it. It kind of makes like a grid, almost like a checkerboard. It almost somebody just cut a big hole in one and stuck it on her head. And Kurt is like just mooing, oh, this is the most gorgeous thing you ever saw. And you're like, buddy, is she wearing a hat? What is that?
Hair and makeup's like, you know, we could cut your hair. Anna's like, you were not cutting my hair for a Kurt Warner movie.
It's not, American Underdog is not paying me enough for me to get a haircut. No, this is what you get. Find me a wig.
For the Tom Brady movie, maybe. Not for fucking Kurt Warner.
So the funny thing is, when there's a spoiler alert, they get married. spoiler alert, Kurt marries his future wife. For the wedding, she has a really good wig on. Mm. And it's like, okay, she's going to wear this the rest of the movie. Nope, right back to the crap wig. Next scene. It's like, all right.
Wow.
They had enough budget. Apparently, they rented it, and they only had it for a day. So anyway, the reason I bring this up.
Yeah, why do we bring this up? Yes.
So there's a scene early in the movie where he's still playing quarterback at the University of Northern Iowa, and he's being coached by Adam Baldwin, the other Baldwin, not the Baldwin brother, the other Baldwin, the guy from Full Metal Jacket and who was on Chuck with the guy playing Kurt Warner, Zachary Levi. It's not Levy. It's Levi, right? He's his coach, and he's just chewing him out. And he's yelling at every time you see Kurt. Kurt drops back in practice, and he rolls to his right, and he makes his throw, and he gets yelled at, stay in the pocket. He yells at it over and over and over again, and he won't play Kurt.
Okay.
So finally, there's Kurt's like, I'm a senior. Why am I – if I don't play now, I'm never going to play, and I'm never going to get drafted. I'm never going to go win a Super Bowl for the Rams.
This is obviously pre-transfer portal era. Yes.
He's like, got to stay in the pocket. So the one entire practice – everybody just beats the shit out of Kurt because he has to stay right on the spot. And he's throwing the ball. He's getting hit and hit and hit. So as I was watching all these plays the Bears run to roll Justin out, which is the thing we begged for last year. Mm-hmm. Please get him off the spot. Get him moving. After a while, it's like, you know what? Maybe he needs to stand in the pocket for a little bit. Get hit. I don't want him to get hurt, but maybe he needs to stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we went from no freedom to too much freedom, like right away.
Right.
Because one of the weird things is his mechanics were all over the place. I mean, he made this weird sidearm throw to Cole.
Yeah, then I was just thinking that's
It's like, you know, what is going on?
So maybe they should
sign Kurt Warner. Looks like
they could do that.
Or Zachary Levy. Levi.
Or Anna Paquin, while we're at it. Let's do that. So, what role do we think the coaching staff has in these issues?
Well, I think it's hard to tell. It's very easy to go, clearly, more crap coaching. He's just getting all the crap coaching. To me, that's almost, you know, I love to rip on the Cubs for their vaunted pitch lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they have it set up, where little Craig Breslow basically has it where if a pitcher is great, it's because the pitch lab fixed him, and if the pitcher sucks, it's the pitcher's fault. Right. This almost feels like the opposite, where If you can't, if Justin's struggling, must be poor coaching. Justin's great. Justin's great. I also find it hard to blame. I know run blocking and pass blocking are different things, different skills. You can be good at one and not good at the other. But I don't know that you can be that good at blocking, at run blocking, and not be able to pass protect at all.
Yeah.
So I will give him this. I guarantee you that as a quarterback, that offensive line is still pretty inconsistent when they pass block.
Mm-hmm.
And that can really screw a guy up. Sometimes you got a pocket, sometimes you don't. Sometimes right. Braxton Jones gets beat in 2 seconds. Sometimes he takes his guy and basically throws him into the stands. And you're just never quite sure.
Right.
When the fans booed right before halftime, because the Bears ran,
Bears
let the clock run out.
A tradition unlike any other. Fans booing the Bears.
I was like, did you guys really just want to see him just chuck this fucker down the field one more time? Just watch the first half. It's a 1-point game. I think maybe they want to keep it that way, and they'll try to figure it out. So I don't know. I think if you were, there's a big thought that, he doesn't have enough talent around him, and how are you supposed to judge him based on the talent around him? But I only buy that to a certain point. Like the Bear, it's not like the Bears are, he makes these throws and these receivers, they can't break tackles. There's no run after the catch. They drop on the ball. Yeah. You're not doing any of that.
Right. It also sounds like a David Ross, David Ross argument to me. He doesn't have any talent around him. Shut up.
And they appear to be at least sometimes getting open and not getting the ball. I have a lot of faith. I think he's going to get his shit figured out. And I think later in the season, we are going to see the limitations of his supporting cast, which is basically, goddamn, if this guy was 10% better, that's a 40-yard gain, a 7-8-yard gain. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, in a weird way, that's kind of the ideal outcome, right? If that happens, that's kind of what we want to see this year.
Yeah. We want to see that Fields is making – he's making a lot of really good plays, but the guys he got around him, they can't turn these into explosive plays. But right now, they're not getting a chance to make a lot of simple plays.
right. Well, I think the thing that's, for me, that's really weird about this, and this is, to me, unfair to Justin, too, is we've never really had a full-throated we support Justin Fields. We believe Justin Fields is our guy from Ryan Poles and the Flus and Getsy. I mean, they say the right things, but you still get a sense that, maybe we want our own guy. You know, at least I get that sense from them. And
no, I don't get that. I don't get that part. I agree with you that they haven't been like, undeniably, this is our quarterback for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
They clearly want him to be their quarterback. But them yet to say it?
Well, I'm not saying that they don't want that. But the other part that's being evaluated, though, is we still don't know is our Poles, Flus, and Getsy the right guys either, right? So if you're the front office and the head coach and the offensive coordinator, if things don't go well, your easiest move is to say, we just got the wrong quarterback, right? That's your easiest move. We got to get the right guy. We got to get the right quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's your easiest escape route, right? Is if that happens, it's riskier for them to go all in and be like, Justin is our guy for the next 10 years. And if they say that publicly, and if that's the case and this year doesn't go well, then they're pointing the blame at themselves. Which it goes back to the original, but get to the point we've made that again, the Bears did this whole thing a disservice by letting Fields flounder for a year on Nagy for no reason.
The new regime should have come in last year, not this year.
Yeah. But you know, it is, I think, a reality that both sides are kind of dealing with here.
Well, I mean, if you're Ryan Poles, your life is a million times easier if he's good. Because you don't want to to use your first-round pick on a quarterback next year. That starts everything over. It fucks everything up. So I find it really hard to believe that they're like, if this doesn't work, it doesn't work. That'll be fine. They really want this. They have to want this to work.
I agree. They do. But I think they're giving themselves an escape route. If it doesn't.
Well, they don't have to give themselves an escape route. It's just the reality of the situation. They didn't draft this quarterback. I mean, they don't have to make him a scapegoat. If he can play, he's not a scapegoat. And if he can't, in fact, I would guess they're going
they do in the sense that if it's, they have the wrong coaches, you know, coaching him, working with him, then it would be their fault. You know, if Justin Fields goes to another team and is just a world beater, then that would be clearly an indictment on the staff. So, and that's what I mean by escape route. They're kind of.
Now, wouldn't that lead you to believe that they would? That's an even better reason that they don't want to give up on him.
I'm not saying. Yeah, no, I agree 1,000,000%.
Because the last thing you want is for him to go in year five and it's like, holy shit, this dude was good.
No question about it. No question about it. But you know, we're still lacking that full-throated support of him, and I just I don't know. It's a bit of a toxic soup, a little bit of a weird mix, because both the quarterback and the GM and the coaching staff are both in this weird kind of situation where they both need to prove themselves, right? And they have to, and the coaching staff and the front office has to prove themselves with a guy who was not their guy. They did not draft him. So it's just kind of a weird circumstance.
This guy didn't get foisted on them after they took the job. They knew what they were getting.
Of course.
It was part of the reason that Ryan Poles wanted to take the Bears job was,
well, sure,
we may very well have our quarterback. And if it's like, well, he didn't know 100%, how are you supposed to know until you actually work with a guy? And even when you draft a guy, you don't know.
Certainly. But these guys are going to take those jobs anyway. There's not a lot of, you know, general manager and head coaching NFL jobs. There's only 32 of them. And if you get to do that, you know, with the Bears, that's, you're going to say, you know, if Mike Phipps is your quarterback, you'll be like, yeah, we believe in Mike. You know what I mean? To get that job. So I just don't know. It's odd to see him struggle so much with, as you're saying, a lot of easy passes, a lot of makeable passes.
I mean, they built that game plan, especially against Houston.
Yeah.
To get him going. Like, this was not a case of, well, we don't think Justin's gonna be able to complete any passes. We're just gonna run the ball 100 times. I mean, you could tell by the way they started the game. It was like, all right, we're gonna get him some throws, we're gonna get him rolling, and then this is gonna be. And the other thing is the way the running game is working, that it should open up all kinds of play action stuff.
Totally.
I mean, it's Chicago sports. It's every sports fan, especially Chicago sports fans. You know, you go into the season like, look, we know this is a rebuild. We're going to be really patient.
Right.
Week three, that fucker can't play. Holy shit. We've screwed again. It's like, all right, guys. The other thing is, I think we came into this with, well, they're going to light the Texans defense up. Texans defense is not bad. I don't know if it's a great defense, but the Colts struggled against them. The Broncos struggled against them. And the Bears did not struggle running the ball against him. That was for sure.
No, yeah. You're right. That's weird. That's another weird thing, right? Yeah, the Texans defense is not bad, and yet they gave up almost 300 yards rushing. That's not a hallmark, typically, of a defense that is not bad. That's a hallmark of a defense that is really, really bad.
Yeah. Well, they gave up 200 yards in the first week, too. Is that right? No. They didn't. They gave 177. But that's the Colts with Jonathan Taylor. So they've done a decent job at pass defense in all three games.
Yeah.
The two interceptions of Fields here were terrible. Just
yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Like, just, what do you? The one that was intended for Mooney was clearly, from the minute that play was called, throwing this to Darnell. It's like, no, you can't do that. It's just, don't do it. Stop, knock it off.
Right.
And then there's he only threw 17 passes. Why did he only throw 17 passes? Well, he got sacked 5 times, which is not great. Mm-hmm. They weren't all, a couple of them were probably on him.
Right, sure.
And he took off 6 times on plays that were clearly passes.
Right.
So they called 28 pass plays for him. You know, it wasn't 11. Like, in, of course, the Green Bay one, I think we figured out, was more like 19.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, honestly, the way the rush offense gets going, it can almost make it uncomfortable for a quarterback, because they weren't just getting like 6 yards a crack. They had a 50-yard run and a 40-yard run.
Oh yeah, they were just running down the throat.
Typically, if you're gashing a team for that many yards, it's like, screw this. We're going to keep running the ball.
Right. Run till you stop or till you can stop us.
Yeah. Because there were a couple of times like, we got to get him more first down passes. It's easier to pass on first down. It is. But when you hand the ball to Khalil Herbert and he gets you 8 yards on first down, would you rather have an incomplete pass or an 8-yard rush?
Right, right.
You would have thought that in those kind of second down and shorts, that's where you can really make some hay passing, because now the defense is screwed. It's like, we got to play both.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's where look, an element of the Bears fan base is like, well, the wins don't matter this year. Well, look, I think everyone can agree the most important part about this year is Justin Fields' development, right? I mean, I think that's what we're all looking for. But I would argue wins are part of that development. Yeah. You want a quarterback who can get you some wins. You know, it'd be really nice if he could, you know, lead a late fourth quarter comeback to get a win.
I heard that too, and I kind of laughed at it, because it was, if it was a game where you were having a hard time running the ball and you're just, you felt like they're not even trying to pass.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But when you're averaging 9 yards a carry, you would be a moron. I mean, think about how dumb we think Luke Getsy was if it's like, we needed Justin to get more passes in, so we stopped running in the second half and we lost to Luke.
Right. Right.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's...
We got 14 more games to go, so there's plenty of time to see this thing unfold. And again, the Texans at home, that's a win. That's a game that you're looking at thinking, all right, this is a win. And this coaching staff, certainly any new coaching staff, they want wins. They don't want to go 0-17 or 3-14.
I mean, there's an incentive to get some wins early here, because the schedule gets brutal.
Really brutal.
You got the Giants this week, and they look better than we thought they were going to, but they got the Cowboys ran all over them. So it looks like another game where you're going to have a lot of rushing yards. Then you get the Vikings, then you get the Commanders.
Yep.
Then you get the Patriots, who you might get without the great Mac Jones. Or he might be limping back by then. But then all of a sudden you're going to get a stretch where, well, it's a little easy. The end of the season is, you have three games in a row that are Packers, Eagles, Bills. Oh, that's fun. There's a bye tucked in there, so you can.
Yeah, right. By the way, Detroit may not be a pushover this year either.
No, you're going to have to score points to beat them. That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Lions are on the back end of that, too. It goes Packers, Eagles, Bills at the Lions.
So yeah.
You're going to want to have a few wins banked by the time you get through the Jets, because might not win again the rest of the way. Now, defensively, do you know how many touchdowns the Bears have allowed in the second halves of their games so far this year?
I do not.
Nary a one.
Nary a one.
They have not allowed a second half touchdown. They've only allowed 12 points. And as poorly as Roquan played against the Packers, he was the opposite of that.
Yeah, he was on fire. Yeah,
he was everywhere. He was chasing running backs down behind the line. The interception that he had, it's like, well, I got tipped. If you watch the replay, he was going to intercept it either way. He literally took a half step to time it after it got tipped. Like, he slowed down on purpose because he was going to get to the ball too fast.
Right.
He had that sniffed out, and even if that ball doesn't get tipped, in fact, if it doesn't get tipped, it's probably a touchdown for Roquan, because the only reason he got caught from behind was he had to slow down to catch the ball.
Right.
So
for sure,
the panicky morons like me who were like, "Well, maybe the Will linebacker doesn't." Yeah, he shut us all up.
Mm-hmm.
You very well could run into that in a week or two with Fields,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, all right, I guess maybe we should have stopped. You know, unwad our panties. Things are going to be okay. It's a strange thing about talented football players. Eventually, they start to play well.
Eventually, they do.
Yeah. I thought it was an especially... I mean, Davis Mills is a guy. He's not terrible. He was the second quarterback taken after Fields. But he's just a guy. And he's only ever going to be a guy. The Bears have had a lot worse quarterbacks than Davis Mills over the years. But he's not going to beat... He's really not going to beat you. He might be part of a team that beats you, but it's not going to be because of him.
Yeah.
But the Bears... I'm sure they knew. We find out right before the game that Jalen Johnson's not going to play. And it's right. Like, oh, this ought to be fun. Other than there was a couple of huge plays. I thought they played relatively well. Kendall Vildor made two really nice plays.
He did.
He tipped the pass that Eddie Jackson intercepted, and then he made another nice play, I think, in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
They also played without they played without Matt Adams. I don't know how you can get by without Matt Adams.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably unsurprising that you turn your team over to a defensive head coach, and your defense, they're not great, but they certainly are good enough.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
To keep you in games, which seems to be their entire goal.
MO. Yeah.
We got spoiled when Lovey ran basically this defense because he had Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs and Charles Tillman. But the whole idea behind that is basically keep the other team in front of you as much as you can. And at some point, steal the ball. Or get a timely sack and make them kick a long field goal. That's kind of their... And I think they call offense, at least to this point, with that in mind. Like the third and six where they run a draw and everybody boos.
Right.
The basic idea is at certain points on the field, and they had terrible field position. They started inside their 20 six times. They started at the 10 four times. It was like touchbacks all of a sudden went to the 10 for the Bears.
Right.
And there are times there when they're going to get into a third down, and they're clearly just going to be like, all right. But the whole goal is not to give them the ball 3 feet away from the end zone. Now, you'd like to think that when your offense starts to produce, that you'd be like, okay, we don't have to do that anymore. But clearly now, that's a plan. It's not just a happenstance. It's like, don't fuck us. Just, if the worst thing that happens is we punt here, we can live with it.
Yeah, and I understand Bears fans' feelings about that. You know, we do want to see your quarterback. Can he come, you know, it's third and six, it's third and 17. Can we try a pass? But again, I don't... In this game against the Texans, I have no problem with it. You know, I think time will tell over these next few weeks as we're playing teams that the Bears are, you know, long shots, extreme long shots in some cases of winning these games. Are we still doing that? And I don't think that'll be the case. I hope it won't be the case. But, you know, but there's an impatience there. It is really kind of a weird feeling because with the Bears starting out 2-1, which I think anybody would have said, hey, if the Bears start 2-1, would you take that? I think any Bears would know, I would take that. 2-1 this year? Yeah, we'll take that. Against the Packers and the Niners and the Texans, that's one. You're gonna beat either the Niners or the Packers, that's pretty good.
Yep.
And that they're still still the focus is all about, you know, the quarterback play, and we get that. We have a lot of PTSD as Bear fans watching really, really bad quarterback play for most of the history of our fandom is watching the team. But we got to give this a little bit of time to unfold.
So if they were winless, but Fields, say, had averaged 270 yards passing in three games.
Yeah, right.
I'm getting heckled on my own podcast. Knock it off. Would we feel better than them being 2-1 with him struggling for all but the second half of the Niners game?
Yeah, I think it depends how we would have lost. But yeah, certainly we would be. If nothing else, we would say we would be pointing to, well, at least it's really encouraging that Fields is really seeming to take to Luke Getsy's system, and he seems to be really becoming the quarterback we think he can become. So we would take that as solace. But
yeah, I mean, you look at it as, all right, the most important position is We've got it.
We got that.
Fill all this other stuff.
Right. We seem to have an offensive coordinator that gets it. Okay.
I was only kind of joking in my rundown, though. They run that the end around to Equanimeous St. Brown. Mm-hmm. And he's a good guy to give the ball to because he's big.
Big and fast.
Can't they run it so that Justin flips the ball forward instead of handing it to him? I mean, I know that's a bullshit Aaron Rodgers. They basically redid all their goal line plays so that their little pitches forward instead of handoffs just to get him extra touchdown passes.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden on the first drive, Justin had, he would have had like 60 yards passing.
Yeah.
Even though one of them had literally thrown it 3 inches in the air in front of a guy running by him. People
right.
might be like, oh, look at that. That looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's my note for Luke Getsy. More handoffs that are actually passed.
Yeah, plus if it's not completed, it's not a fumble. It's an incomplete pass. So that's good too.
Right. Yeah. You don't want EQ dropping it on his foot.
Yeah.
I did enjoy Sam Mustipher just leaving three snaps on the field. That was fun. actually, only two. The other one was with Treston Ebner in because Herbert was getting Montgomery's carries and Ebner was getting his. They ran that one RPO where Treston just stood there and it feels like tried to like pretend to hand the ball to him and it just bounced off of him. It's like, you at least just look this way.
Yeah. It was not an encouraging sign to see a fumbled snap on the first play of the game. That was not great.
It was great. So you get James Lofton going, oh, they gotta really get Justin Fields going here. This is early game start. Oh, there's a fumble on the first play.
Oh,
it's very bare. Who knows? Maybe that first play was going to be, it's going to be like a 75-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, might have been.
Never got to see it. That would have started the whole thing. Would have been all
whole narrative
different.
Is different. Whole different narrative. But as I think somebody, I saw someone point out on Twitter, like if the Bears played the Bears, this is exactly what this game would look like.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, Lovey is trying to recreate the Texans in the image of the most mediocre Bear teams that he had.
Right.
And he's succeeding. I think Lovey, what a guy. He decided to play a little turn back the clock. Completely unnecessary, unwinnable challenge.
Oh, the
throwing
great.
The red Don't. Flag out there. It's like, oh. I didn't have to see the replay. When the flag came out, I'm like, oh, Bears are keeping this one. Oh, Lovey never gets these right. And then CBS immediately, like, they show the flag, and then here's Justin Fields' knee on the ground. It's like,
knee
oh,
on
there
the
it
ground.
Is.
Like,
oh,
okay.
Sorry, Lovey.
Way to go, Lovey.
It's funny. It's almost like the refs could have looked at the flag and said, we're not even going to review it. It's Bears ball. Sorry, Lovey.
It's the equivalent of a Santos field goal. You don't have to make it. Yeah. We already know the outcome. Let's just save time.
I had a feeling that, you know, so the Bears ran at the end, you know, they get the interception. They don't really have to move the ball at all. They're going to kick field. Just get the clock down to 3 seconds.
Right.
They called that timeout with 18 seconds left, and it freaked everybody out. Like, oh, my God, Eagles fucked it up. It's like, okay, no, it's third down. They ran the play clock down as far as they could. They called timeout. Now they're going to take a knee. They have a timeout left. They'll be fine. But it was almost like they did that, and then they went to Cairo, and I thought what they were asking, you know, Cairo's like, okay, now I'm really.
What hash she wanted on?
Yeah,
where
like,
do you
know
want the
what?
Ball?
I'm not, I want to, I need to work on the left hash. Put it on the left hash. I need to work on it. I want to make it challenging for myself. Hey, you know what? Take a couple of personal fouls.
Yeah.
I want to kick a 50-yard one. I don't want to kick a 32-yard field goal. But it's a waste of my time.
You know what? Give me that towel. Give the center the towel.
That's right. He's up. He's out there.
Okay, let's call it.
He's taunting the ref with a towel. Did you see Cairo do the slide at the end of the game?
I did.
Yes. Just stuck right in the grass. That was great.
That's great.
I didn't get to do this last week. Why were you busy toweling off the field? Where were you when everybody else did it?
You're toweling off the swimming pool. What are you doing?
Well, yeah, we knew it would not be an aesthetically beautiful game because it was the Bears and the Texans, and they certainly lived up to that.
They did, and you know, this game also they could have very easily lost this game.
Yeah,
they very easily could have lost this game, and then the entire narrative is, oh my God, is it different?
Now they get the New York Football Giants. Mm-hmm. Who almost went to 3-0, a late rally by the Cowboys.
Yep.
And they're 2-1 with the great Daniel Jones. Really like to see Justin Fields be able to outplay Daniel Jones.
Just be nice, you know.
Sanity. Please, Brian, play better than him.
Right. Well, Brian Daboll is a guy that, you know, a lot of Bears fans wanted to coach the Bears. So this is a little bit of, you know, we'll see what could have been, perhaps.
It is funny, though. It's like, oh, we got to get this guy. He's going to run the offense. He gets to the Giants. He's like, I'm not running the offense anymore. It's like, wait a minute. We didn't hire you for your strategic brilliance. You're not going to call plays? Oh, yeah, for fuck's sakes. Well, I'm going to be over here. I can help.
Right.
It's like the Floos, who doesn't call the defenses, but I enjoy that weird little card he has.
Yeah.
You can see everything he says. And he still holds it. I'm sure it's a habit. He holds it over his face. It's like, buddy, you're not blocking anything with that stupid little card. And also, aren't you not supposed to be calling these?
See what Lovey was holding? Looked like he had a postcard that said, like, welcome to Chicago. He was speaking into that. Like, Lovey, what is that?
I mean, Lovey's headset's not actually hooked to anything. Just heading up and down the sidelines. Why doesn't anybody ever answer me? What?
What's that say on the side, Lovey, of your headset? It says Fisher Price.
Why does it make that horn sound when you press the side? Woo, woo. Yeah, so they're at the Giants. So their first of two trips to the Meadowlands, yes. Or not, whatever it is. MetLife Stadium.
Right.
Shouldn't they just schedule those games back-to-back? The Bears could just stay in New York. Have a nice week. Nice week in New York in the fall. It would be beautiful.
Yeah, see a show. Go to Broadway. Yeah. Come on.
Take the team to go see Dear Evan Hansen or something.
Yeah.
Maybe they get a kick out. Okay.
Go to Nobu, have a good time.
But no, they have to come home and then they go. Well, the week after, though, is a very important road trip for Georgia Ted. Going up to U.S. Bank Stadium.
No.
They're
going
to be taking lots of pictures to give to the architect.
Well, I don't know.
We want one of these, and we want one of these, and we want one of those. Don't take a picture of Kirk Cousins. Whatever you do, you don't want one of those.
We don't want that.
Yeah, I was noticing you really notice it on NFL Red Zone, because when they flip around, that games at Minnesota look different on TV. They look unlike any other. Actually, they kind of look like sometimes CBS will have a day game at Fog Allen Fieldhouse in Kansas, and you'll see the sun on the court, and you're like, what the fuck? Because there's windows, huge windows on each end of the stadium and of the field house, and as the sun gets to a certain part, you'll actually see like the outline of the windows in sunshine on the court.
Yeah,
which just looks so weird. A guy, oh, I missed that shot because the sun was in my eyes. U.S. Bank has that feel because you can actually like it's nicer than there was at one point. The Red Zone guys had a four box up. Three of the games were in domes. There was one in Indy, one in New Orleans, and the one in Minnesota. And New Orleans, it's just dark. You know, you can tell they're playing indoors.
I know. I hate that. I hate watching those games on TV.
The one in Indy was odd because it was darker, but I had seen a picture from earlier that day. I'm sure Robert Irsay had tweeted it out. It's apparently a beautiful day in Indianapolis, so the roof was open, and so were both ends. You know Lucas Oil Field. You filmed a commercial there. You know all about it. And that didn't look... That still looked dome. Like, you looked up, they're in a dome.
Yeah, right.
And then they showed Minnesota, where they're clearly in a dome, but it looked... It was like sunshine.
Yeah.
That's what we want. That's all we want.
We want sunshine. That's all we want. Yeah.
We want a little sunshine. That's bear weather. Bear weather is sunshine and comfortable. None of this. Who says? Ask them. You know what? You know what bears do when the weather sucks?
They hibernate.
They hibernate. Yeah. They're like, "Fuck this!" They go indoors. They go into their own dome,
right?
And they sleep for the whole winter. They're like, "Fuck this! I'm not going out in that shit."
Yeah, right.
So this whole idea that we need bear weather. You know what? That the dome and all that is bear weather.
That's bear weather.
Now, good luck. Maybe you'll get all the defensive linemen will want to sleep the whole time. That could be an issue. But anyway, that's 2 weeks. That's not next week. Bears at Giants. What do you think the experts think about the Mighty Bears on the road.
Feels to me like a 5-point Giants favorite.
It's only 3.5.
3.5, okay.
They're buying the hits principle.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bears by, or Giants by 3.5.
Yep, okay.
So I'm going to apply the logic to this that I use. So I'm in a picks pool. I've been in a picks pool for years with a bunch of people I don't know.
Excellent.
So I went on like 3 dates with a girl. She's a lovely girl. And we remained friendly after we were no longer dating.
Okay.
And her dad started this like online picks pool at work. It had been an in-person one that they like, hey, there's this thing called the internet. Let's put the pool up there. And apparently he said to Melissa, he's like, hey, if you know if anybody else wants to be in this pool, let me know.
This is like 10 years ago or something?
It's at least that long.
Okay.
But I dated her in 2004.
Okay. Wow.
I've been married for 15 years. So this is okay.
More than 10 years then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get this, I get an email and it's like, hey, do you want to be in dad's company's picks pool? Costs $15. And they split the pot up for the top 3 ones. I'm like, sure. So I've been in it forever. Okay. And I just keep re-inviting me. They send her the whole list. In fact, this year I signed back up and she saw that I was like on the leaderboard and I got a message from her and she's like, hey, I see you're still in the pool. I'm like, well, I won it last year and I felt like I really should have come back and play and let everybody try to win their money back.
You're right. The decent thing to do.
My basic strategy in that picks pool that has evolved over the years is I only take home or I only pick road winners if I think it's an obvious road win.
Okay.
Like I'm not picking upsets on the road.
Right.
And if you let that roll for 18 weeks, it's amazing. You win a lot of football games.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how many like close calls there are when you're like, oh, they got a great chance to win and then they lose by a point. So with that logic, I'm taking the Giants this week.
Okay.
Because in that picks pool, I would not pick the Bears to win this game. I'd be like, oh, they got a good chance to win, but they don't have, like, it's got to be, I need to see a decided advantage.
Yeah.
Like last week when I picked the Bills to beat the Dolphins. And then the Bills kicked the shit out of the Dolphins up and down the field, held the ball for 40 minutes, rolled up 400 yards of offense, and lost. So anything can happen. But over the course of your 18 weeks, those home winners, those add up.
That coordinator's going to be the hottest. He's going to be the hottest coach in the offseason, don't you think? Whatever his name is, the Bills coordinator. Slamming the thing, up in the press box.
It's Ken Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey, yeah.
Former Miami Hurricanes skinny quarterback.
Yeah. Ken Dorsey. People are going to be like, we need a guy with fire like Ken Dorsey.
Yeah. Well, that's an example of, the Bills had. Although I think Sean McDermott predated Josh Allen by a year. Isn't that the story? Then they moved up in the draft. They drafted Josh Allen, and Sean McDermott fired his offensive coordinator and said, we need somebody better to work. This dude's going to be good. We need somebody better.
Right.
But they hired Dable with the idea. They basically told him, you need to train. Your quarterback coach needs to be able to take over for you because you're going to be a head coach someday.
Yeah.
And that's who Ken Dorsey is.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole idea was, look, Brian, you're a good coach. We're going to score a shitload of points. Somebody's going to hire you, and you're going to leave, and your offense cannot leave with you.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be able to run it.
That's what the Bears should be doing
as
well.
That is supposedly the Bears playing with their offensive coordinator, Andrew Janico. He is supposedly, if in 2 years, although I don't think there's any a danger of it happening right now.
Not so far,
If Getsy becomes a hot coaching commodity, then that's the guy supposedly who the Bears would have next in line to run their offense. And then superstar Justin Fields won't have to learn a new offense. He just...
Right.
There's also a thought that you get to a point, if your quarterback is really good, that your quarterback basically dictates,
you bring the
new coach in, it's like, here's the stuff I like to run. You figure it out. I'm not running your shit. You're running mine.
Exactly.
The Bears are not close to that yet.
No.
Now, I do wonder, if you're Luke Getsy, and say, you get this offense on track, and, people are like, it turns out Justin Fields is really good. That guy deserves a lot of credit. Are you looking at Nathaniel Hackett and the weird shit that's happening in Denver? And you're like, buddy, you are fucking this up for me. It's like, everybody's going to be like, well, I don't know.
Yeah,
you, that was Getzey's boss, and things are not going good. Are we going to hire Luke Getzey with this train wreck?
Yeah. Well, certainly the early returns would suggest that. Yeah. Let's see how it ends up.
Also, if you it makes you a little concerned. So there's three places running that Packer version of this offense: the Packers, the Broncos, and the Bears. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could very well be that that shit only works when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback.
It could very well be the case. Yeah.
Early returns are not promising in either place.
That's really the key to the offense, is having Aaron Rodgers running it.
Well, and it's kind of ironic because the reason the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett was, well, we can get Aaron.
Yeah, right. That was the whole thing. Aaron's going to be a Bronco. Whoops, that didn't happen.
So. Yeah,
all of Denver thought they were getting Aaron.
Did you see that? You know, the Packers had that close win in Tampa.
Yeah.
Looks like Tampa had they scored late, and then they ran the 2-point conversion that was going to work, but it was delay game.
Yeah.
And Rodgers made this, everything he says is cryptic because he's so smart. Oh, he's brilliant. But he basically said, he goes, sometimes the Jumbotron, Jumbotron shows you stuff they shouldn't show, and nobody knows what the fuck he was talking about. And when they ask him, he wouldn't say. So you think he's just like making shit up just to be a dick?
Yeah, so nobody knows what he's talking about, including him.
Yeah.
Most especially him.
The implication was that they showed something that he noticed that then led to the second Packer touchdown. But, of course, he wouldn't come out and say it.
No.
Because he's an international man of mystery and bad haircuts. Yeah.
Smarmy ayahuasca bastard.
Yeah, just a...
He
did say he's not going to play till he's 45.
Oh, good.
Which means he's probably going to play till he's 48. No, I'm not playing on 45. He's never leaving.
He's never leaving us. He's never leaving He's never leaving the Packers. He's gonna be fucking there forever.
At this point, I want him to stick around. I want him to stick around until the Bears are finally good enough to beat him. And I don't care if he has to play at least 70. I just want to see it. I don't know. Maybe it's never gonna happen. Feels like it's never gonna happen.
Yep.
All right. Well, did you pick? I told you.
No, I did not pick. Yeah, no, I'm Giants all the way. Yeah.
My heart is with the Bears. My money and my meaningless picks pool strategy.
Yeah. Right, now, what about the 10-point thing? Isn't that the points bet thing or whatever?
I believe they're bringing back the 7-point early win thing again next week.
Okay.
So you can... On DraftKings, you can go
on DraftKings.
Do the money line and maybe pick the Bears. Maybe you think the Bears are going to score an early touchdown.
So if the Bears score a touch, it's only 7 points this week on DraftKings?
I believe that was the promo I saw. I believe they're bringing it. It's either 7 or 10.
Gotcha.
They're still doing the early win thing. Go shop. Shop for your lowest number you find at DraftKings. Yeah, the way it works is you bet the money line. If the team you bet on at any point in the game is up by that number, it's 7 or 10, you automatically win. Doesn't matter what happens the rest of the game. You're good. I had a parlay on DraftKings that needed David Montgomery to get over 59.5 yards.
Mm.
So he's being carted off. Well, he walked off the field. People were very excited. It's like, guys,
that's right.
Blow out their ACLs and walk off the field all the
time. All the time. Yeah.
Because it happened in the first quarter, DraftKings gave everybody who had bet that parlay a free bet in the amount of the amount that they bet. So you lost.
Oh, well, that's nice.
You lost, but in your account, there is a free bet for that same amount of money. So you can get a second chance, bet on something else.
Look how nice that is. That's pretty cool.
They do that from time to time. If an injury screws up a parlay,
yeah,
they're buying a little goodwill. They're still they take your money,
yeah,
and they give you a coupon. Like, here, give us this. Hey, look at this. Look at this free money. You're going to bet 10 times more than this, aren't you? And you're like, uh-huh, and you take it.
I like it.
Yeah. I believe Waddle and Sylvie had a parlay through DraftKings that had that part. It was not the one I bet, but it had that David Montgomery thing in it, and they were bragging that DraftKings gave all the people who bet that their money back. And I was like, eh, I didn't bet your bet. And they gave it to me too. So.
Right.
It just shows how benevolent they are.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I also had the...
The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart. You get that reference? That's a subscare. Albert Brooks.
Oh. Lost in America.
Yes. The Desert Inn has heart.
I bet for some reason, I was betting against Taylor McGregor. I bet Texas A&M. I got Texas A&M. I thought it was going to be 1.5. By the time I went to bet, it had gone up to 2. And I'm like, oh, fine, I'll bet it. They're going to win by 2 points. I don't even know which kicker now, because it could have gone either way, because it was a point either way. In the game, one of the kickers hit the top of the upright.
It's nearly impossible
yes,
to
in
do.
Fact, you should get like lots of points for that. Yeah. It was no good. And it landed on the number. So all of us that had 2, it was a push.
Oh.
Because one of the weird things about at least DraftKings and FanDuel are you can't buy a lot of times if it's you can buy it down. So if it lands on an even number, you can pay a little extra.
Uh-huh.
And it could have gone down to 1.5. You don't get that option. So I bet it on the 2, and I just that money just came right back to me. So I can piss that away on something else.
You're talking to a guy who does not have a betting app on his phone, but I have no idea what any of this means.
Oh, I bet. Sounds good. I bet huge amounts of money. I take the mortgage.
Yep.
And I bet it every Sunday. I bet the mortgage. I get a kick out of like. Both DraftKings and FanDuel do it. Some guy will come up with this like ridiculous. Somebody had one this week. They took all the Sunday games and they bet them on the money line. They turned into one big 12-pick parlay, and they bet 50 cents, and they won like $1,000.
Oh,
guy just amusing himself with what? What am I going to lose 50 cents? I'll take this one and this one and this one and this one and this one.
Oh, but you and know he's pissed. You should be like, if I would have bet,
yeah, right. Should have put real money on this.
Yeah, $100. Yep. What would I?
And the best ones are the ones where you bet it and then you don't pay any attention and you just open the app and like, oh, there's money in there. Holy shit. Right.
Now, do you ever withdraw the money? Does it ever go back in your, or does he just keep rebetting? Is that the key?
Well, you can.
I know you can, but does it ever happen?
Have. I just sits there and
just
drawing interest on it.
You're going to let it ride, but run it back, baby. Run it back.
I started with. I've had opposite success with the two apps. I put 20 whenever betting came to Illinois 2 years ago. Is that right? It seemed like a pandemic thing.
Right?
It happened during the pandemic.
Yeah,
it did because originally the online was going to come later. They wanted to give the brick and mortars a head start, and then nobody could go out of their house. So like, fuck it, you guys, we need the revenue. Start betting.
Right. I feel like it came like a day before the Ricketts announced the DraftKings, building.
Yeah. Crane got a hot tip. I had a big announcement tomorrow. You might want to get ahead of this. Okay, good. We're going to build a sports book. No, damn it. No, the opposite of that, dumbass.
You don't need to anymore. Okay.
Put $25 in both DraftKings and FanDuel.
Okay.
And I have never put more money in either one.
Okay. And you've never taken money. Have you ever taken money out?
I've never put money back in, never taken out.
That's the key.
Yeah, I mean, they both made $25 off me because I've never taken any of the money back.
See, there you go.
But I've had 2 years of just amusing myself with one day and sitting in my car eating a Popeye's. I remember where I was.
Yeah,
I was eating a Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich, and I'm like, I'm going to put some money on this.
And that was when, like, the Popeye's chicken.
Yeah, it was like a big deal. That was a much bigger deal that I had actually gotten one than betting.
Right, right.
Like, the odds of the I knew it was like, oh, man, I've defied the odds today. I got one. I'm gonna start.
Yeah,
look, I'm on a hot streak. I will say that the DraftKings account has a nice chunk of change in it. The FanDuel one, I believe, right now has 13 cents left. I had gotten it down to $1.
Yeah.
And so I bet $1 a couple of times and got it back up. You know, I was picking up the most obvious things I could. Like, bet $1 to win 85 cents. I just need to get this up. I don't want to have to, like, It's a pain in the ass to put money on those things because, like, I don't want them dipping into my real bank account, even just for, so I'm not going to use that. Certain credit cards don't like it a lot. You can use a PayPal account, but not if the PayPal account is tied to a credit card.
Your bank. Yeah, right, yeah.
So it's like, fuck, I don't want to do this. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to, this is the perfect test. I'm just going to inch my way back up. And it's, I got to like $5 and then I got a little over aggressive. I'm back to 13 cents. So we'll see. But the draft
a little
one,
too close.
Woo. I could just keep betting for years off that.
There you go.
Cause my wife asked me one time, she saw me like betting. She's like, how much money have you wasted on that?
Oh, that's the thing. Right. Your wife's going to be like,
you're not going to believe this. $50 2 years ago. And that's it. She's like, she kind of looked at me like, I'd rather had the $50.
Yeah. Right. I could have bought something with that, but okay.
Buy another hat, a purse. Screw that.
Yeah. Or a brooch.
Pterodactyls. Wait, oh, wait, that's not right. All right.
All right.
Well, that was our DraftKings chat. I'm sure they'll be very excited. I'll tag that for them.
Yeah, do that.
They'd be like, don't explain how it all works. You don't know what you're talking about.
But the less information, the better, please.
We pay people who actually know what they're talking about to do this. Just read the ads, dummy.
Yeah, yeah. Huh?
All right. Well, we'll be back next week to talk about an exciting Bears win as they go to 3-1.
Yes.
They could. Giants are not great. There's no reason he can't win this game.
There's no reason they can't win this game. And again, it's another game. What will we have learned at the end of this game? I don't know. I still don't know.
I know the Giants are actively trying to trade Kenny Golladay, the wide receiver who Ryan Pace threw a shitload of money at, and he went, I don't want to play for you. So he signed with the Giants, and now he doesn't play.
Right.
And the Giants were like, I think, we're talking about wagers, how about George and whichever Mara is still around, Rooney or Kate, I don't know which one's running the Giants, one of the two.
Okay.
Loser has to take Kenny Golladay.
Oh, there you go.
Actually, is there somebody the Bears could give him? They kind of cut all the real dead weight. The dead weight they have is cheap.
Yeah.
I'm not giving away Big Bob Quinn.
Could you give him Rafael Ortega? Would that work?
<That's right. laughs> Oh, the Cubs. Still winning. It's exciting.
Still winning.
Oh, boy, over 500 after the All-Star break. Oh, that
team plays
$5
hard.
$5 will get you a bowl of soup. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. It's David Kaplan they play hard. They play hard for David. No, they don't.
They play hard because there's 20 guys on this team who shouldn't be in the fucking major leagues.
These guys are so happy to be in the major leagues. Of course you're going to play hard.
They'd run through that stupid brick wall for that moron just because
they're
all going to be out of a job next year. So
yeah, they're having the time of their life right now, and they know it. Yeah, for David Ross. Ugh.
All right.
All right.
Till next week.
There we go. Till next week. Thank you.
Many of us have herpes.
I just won this three over.